almost took a second sip of coffee because this is a tough scripture to read this morning. I'd rather delay getting to it if I'm being completely honest with you. Meant what I said to the kids up here. Yeah, this is going to make it sound like Jesus wants us to be dishonest. So we'll see if we can unpack this in any way that's beneficial or helpful to us. Our scripture today is Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do? Now that my master is taking the position away from me, I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, the manager asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'How much do you owe?' And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you true riches? And if you have not been faithful with the belongings of another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for the slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Did any of that make sense, what I was saying about how difficult the scripture was? You can tell me I'm just making it up and out of line. Is anybody like, this is the one I'm going to live my life by? Like, that's a good one. I'm going to be dishonest. It's a challenging scripture. It's one of those, again, when we sit down with our kids, we want to make sure that we're not telling them, yeah, it's all right to lie. It's all right to, you know, cut down somebody's bill. Can you imagine when you were working tables and the bill came due and they're like, well, they didn't even ask if they could pay it. If the waiter's just like, well, you only give us half. You'll be fine. How's that going to go over? Not very well. It'd be like the manager without a job sooner or later. It's a difficult passage, it seems, to try to wrap our minds around Jesus telling this story and seemingly praising this manager for being dishonest. I like the end of the passage that we read. That makes a lot of sense. We can get our minds around that. No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. That's one we can hang our hats on. The root of all evil, this idea of money, serving money, making sure that we have enough money, oftentimes leads us to forgetting what it is that God has called us to do. But again, one of the things I enjoy saying to you is when we look out these doors, when we look at life around us, we see what it's really like. We cannot turn our attentions away from money completely. It's the reality of our society. It's the reality of our world. You act like money is not important, you're going to end up on the streets, homeless, needing someone else to provide for you. It's important to make sure that you're doing well at your job so that you'll continue to get a paycheck. It's important to make sure that you're budgeting your money so it doesn't run out by the end of the month. and you can feed your children. We have to spend some time and attention on our money, or else we'll get ourselves in trouble. It's the fact, the reality of the life in which we live in. But here is this parable, this rich man who has apparently squandered his master's property. Now, we don't necessarily know what squandered means. It could certainly mean that he's been dishonest, as he seems to be, and stolen some of it or given some of it away. It could also just mean mismanaged. Maybe there was like a global pandemic or something, and, you know, supply chain issues cost this guy money, and, you know, there were mask mandates and everything, and unbeknownst to the manager, there's nothing else he could have done, perhaps. So he could have squandered it making terrible, awful, malicious decisions, or he could have simply not been a great manager, and the situations around him meant that the property's value decreased. We don't know. But one way or the other, it gets back to the master that his property is being squandered, and he calls him in for an account of what he's been doing, of his management. And this is where this guy comes in. Well, listen, he says to himself, I'm not strong enough to dig. He's been a manager. You know the manager types. They don't actually do the work. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm too proud to beg, which is also a country song, isn't it? I can't remember which one, but it sounds like one. I think I like it. I can't do that, so I better come up with something. Oh, I know. On my way out the master's door, I'll burn a little bridge and get myself on good hands, on good feet with these other debtors that he has, and so that when I'm out on the streets not working for my master, they may welcome me into their homes. So he calls the debtors in and asks them how much they owe, and the first he cuts right in half, 100 barrels of olive oil down to 50, and the next down to 80 from 100 containers of wheat. Brilliant. The master even thinks so. This is a brilliant thing to do. Make friends when you're running out of friends. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. I scratch yours, you scratch mine. Listen, he says, I'm not going to have a job for much longer, so I'm going to help you out. We've been friends for a long time. I'm going to cut your bill in half, and I want you to remember it. Don't you forget what I've done for you today. Because I'm going to need to call in that favor here in a little bit. What are we to do with that? If we leave a job, whether we're being fired or let go or quit, I feel like you guys would come give me a talking to if I stood up here and was like, yeah, just burn it down on the way out. If you get fired, just forget them. Help somebody else out. What are we to do? The more I thought about it, the more I studied. I always give Sunday school credit. We had great conversations in Sunday school. When I get down to it, I think, what is it that we're supposed to do with this passage? And I'm reminded that we're all placed in positions to help others. Now, I'm going to say a couple of words right here. I'm going to say two words to be in fact. And they may be charged for some of you. You may have heard other people use these words in a negative light or in a way that made you upset. But I want you to remember, I'm the one talking to you right now. So forget about what you've heard about these two words before. And let me finish, okay? Now that we're all uptight, I'll say the two words. White privilege. Look around, we're all pretty monotone faces in this room. I was probably the darkest one for a little bit. That's because we were out of the pool a lot. We all have this sort of white privilege. And again, forgetting whatever you might have heard, the definition I'm going to use for that is that I'm not implying that we don't have issues of our own. I'm not implying that we haven't faced difficulties. But for me, white privilege means that we're not facing difficulties because of the color of our skin, which does happen to other people. They face difficulties simply for what they look like. We certainly face difficulties. As a white man, I've faced difficulties. I'm not saying I've had it easy. I've been discriminated against at work. I really have. But I didn't fight about it. I didn't fuss about it. It was when I was at the daycare helping out with the kids. Legally, I wasn't allowed to change diapers. That's discrimination. It's workplace discrimination. But it worked out for me. I wasn't going to argue. Yeah, let me change all the diapers. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm divorced with a child. I can tell you, the system's not always fair in my direction. In fact, it's tilted against single dads from time to time, quite often. Just because I'm a white male doesn't mean I haven't experienced difficulties. But because I'm white or because I'm male doesn't mean that things have been more difficult for me because of those things. But being a white male has put me in positions that other people may not have had. And again, that doesn't mean I didn't work hard or didn't earn them. But I was given opportunities simply for who I am. And oftentimes, folks that look like me and folks that look like you and us are placed in those situations, have opportunities that others may not. And we can either fuss and argue about it, or we can be like this manager and say, hey, I'm in this position to help someone else. How might I use that position? We've got many different faces here, diverse group of people. I don't know what that might look like in your life. But we all have opportunities where we can help others, where we can look at those around us who are less fortunate and find ways that we can lift them up and uplift them. Now, Jesus kind of gives this guy a little bit of a hard time. He calls him dishonest. And I think the important thing to remember in that is, although he is helping these debtors, he's doing it for self-serving reasons. Yes, I will help you lower your debt, but I want you to remember it when we leave from this place. I think if Jesus has anything negative to say in this parable, that would be the first one. Don't try to help out others for your own benefit later. Jesus talks in other places about building up your treasures in heaven versus being repaid here on this earth. Don't help someone else out with the idea that they'll repay you in this life. Find those situations and those people that you can lift up and help out, even if they can't repay you here. And use your positions. Use the advantages that you've been given to make that happen. Like I said, I don't know what that looks like for everybody. But we all have opportunities to give and to help. And to help others. So I was thinking part of my benediction would like, go and be dishonest. But I think there's a difference between the dishonesty versus using your position for good. All the time Jesus talks about turning the world upside down. How the first will be last and the last will be first. As this manager did. Using our position doesn't always lift up and highlight what the world would have us to do. But it helps out others. And that's what we're called to do. Amen.